Shalom, everyone, and we are studying today Matot and Mas'ei, the last two portions of the book of Numbers. And because it's the end of the book of Numbers, it's basically the end of the main body of the Torah, because the next book, Deuteronomy, is called Mishneh Torah, which means repetition or secondary to the Torah. The last book, Deuteronomy, the next one that we will start reading from next week, it's basically the words of Moses in the last 5 weeks of his life, from the new moon of Aquarius till the seventh of Adar, when he's going up to the mount and leaves this physical world. So that's his speech, but the Torah itself is completed in this week. What does this mean? And what's the connection between the end of the main body of the Torah, four books, Bereshit till Bamidbar, Genesis till Numbers, and Matot Mas'ei, these two parashot that we're reading this coming Shabbat? And the power of this parashot is the power that is allowing us to do our tikkun for this special week. Now, in order to have an introduction, in order to understand that, basically because Matot Masei, according to that, are very important parashot. Usually they are being read as two short parashot, and usually they're being read in conjunction, unless it's a leap year. But usually they're being read together in the same week. Parashat Matot has, not so short as I thought, 212 verses. Okay, and Parashat, which is a very significant number for overcoming judgments, and of course there is a reason for that. Parashot Mas'ei is to 132 verses, and the gematria, and that symbolize machala chola, which is the number for disease. So that will immediately bring us to the idea that we are still in this week, in the month of Tammuz, the sign of Cancer, which means these parashot have to do with healing, like all the previous parashot we read during the month of Tammuz. So we had Chukat, we had Balak, we had Pinchas, and now Matot Mas'ei. All of them are connected to the power of healing. Now, why do we need healing? Why do we get sick? Why do we have something of this ease in our lives? And that not just about body inconvenience, anything that blocks business relationships, anything, any flow in our lives. And when we are talking about the blockage of the flow, we're talking about dinim, judgments. So it's all about judgments, and we are in the midst of the 3 weeks of judgments. Therefore, we are very much into the idea of transforming judgments. And basically, if we want to understand what does it mean, why now? Why do we need to transform judgments? The answer is we need to do that always. And let us read some of the words in Parashat Mas'ei of a great teacher, rabbi, Hasidic leader, Ohev Israel, the Opter Rebbe. He lived in the Ukraine and in the city of Apt, and his name was Ohev Israel. He was a person that loved everyone, and he always found the way to create love in every possible aspect. And that's why his name was the Lover of Israel, which means he would always find a way to love, which means if that is not the highest form of sweetening judgments, so what is higher than that? So one of his he in his teachings, he has a very long explanation about Parashat Maaseh, but I'll read just part of it, and that will be an introduction to understand the whole purpose of these two parashot and this week in our lives. והנה בתחילת הארת אדם הישראל השם אב הרחמים. Okay, so when in the beginning of awakening the person to his father in heaven, the father of mercy, אז הבורא ברוך הוא ובאור שמו ברוב טובו וחסדו הגדול מגלה לאדם יד הרמה, אור קרן הוד המאיר ובא אל האדם, כל אחד לפי בחינתו. So for a person to awaken towards God's love, so for that, God is sending him a shining ray of light, of glory, that is shining and is coming to the person. Kol echad zefi b'chinato v'nishmato. Each person according to his own aspect and his kind of soul, because we don't have the same souls. Every human being has a very unique soul that if we are talking as we are, when we're talking about the tree of life, the tree, a tree is a big creation that has many, many, many parts to it. We have many leaves, flowers, fruits, trunk, which means you understand what I'm saying, roots, and you have the main ones, we have the side ones, we have the twigs, we have the trunk. It's a tree is a masterpiece of a composition of many, 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 many different items that all of them are working in conjunction and in harmony to create that amazing piece that is called a tree. So all of them are the same, and the same thing is the human body or any kind of a living body. Again, you have tissues, you have organs, you have cells, you have inside the cells, you have the mitochondria, you have many, many structures and sub-sub structures. All of them must function properly and in harmony with the others in order to create what we call a healthy creature. Is it a tree, a human being, or any kind of other creatures? But we understand that the same way that this is structured, every human being is a piece of a family, a community, a nation. There are a bunch of nations that create a kind of partnership like we see today, more and more and more, that we cannot operate or succeed being alone. You know, you can't, you know, whoever is trying. And we spoke about it many times. Rabbi Ashlag, 90 years ago, said, where a human being was created with very, very, very strong needs for a lot of things that he cannot provide to himself. So the moment a human being will try to live off the grid, just in nature, he will be punished because you're not supposed to live alone. You're part of a bigger system. And because you are created to be part of a system, that will force you to learn how to operate within a system, which means You need to listen to other people's needs. You cannot be selfish. You have always to consider other people's opinions, attitude, needs, desires, functioning, differences, everything. It's a great headache, but it is the, as Rabbi Ashlag, the founder of the Kabbalah movement in the 20th century, as he says, God created us so complicated, so we need a lot of human beings, other human beings, to provide us. So it's a network of food, a network of supplies. Today, you have even more, you have so many grids of supplies, either water or cellular or internet, or you just name it. You can't without it, and you need to function in front of each of these networks that you are connected to, either social, business-wise, everything. So why is it? You have to get out of yourself. And why is that important to get out of yourself? Because this is the first condition to learn how to sweeten the judgments. You cannot sweeten judgments when you are busy only with yourself. When you live like a hermit in a place that you think you're independent, you live, let's say, by a spring, so you have water and whatever, but still, you need so you as a human being, your needs are so rich and viable. You can't supply all of them by yourself. And if you try to supply all of them by yourself, as Rabbi Ashok is saying, nature will punish you severely because you're not structured to live on your own. You have to live with other human beings and you have to listen to their whatever opinions. And by this, you will learn how to get out of yourself and you will be forced to do your job. And what is your job? Let us try to understand. So he's saying, so when the creator awakens a human being to do his job. You know, most people are dormant. They're simply sleeping. What does it mean? They never ask a question about who am I? Why am I? What's the purpose of my creation? What's the purpose of my life? Why do I need to suffer? You know, people ask, where is justice? Where is God? Why do you need to suffer? But they don't really want to hear the answer. They are simply asking it as a rhetoric question, just to rant and to complain. However, when God is shining into a human soul, it has to be according to his own special frequency, soul, and aspect. Because each one of us is very, very different than all the others. And therefore, because if I would be like everybody else, why do you need me? Nobody needs me. But if people realize that every human being is so unique that if he is missing, all of humanity will be missing that he is supposed to supply to humanity, we will be more and more respectful for other people. So, and there's an aspect that is called Yad Harama, the high hand. When the Israelites are coming out of Egypt, there are three hands. We're going to talk about it later on that are being involved: Hayad Harama, Yad HaChazaka, Yad HaGdola, Umerkaz HaEmtzei LeChol HaOlamot. That aspect, it is called Yad Harama, the upper hand, is the center. This is the central thing for all the universe. And it is umekor shorshi lekol hakochot haniflaim. And it's the source of all the magical, wonderful forces. And when this power is being revealed, מתעלים אז כל הכוחות שנפלו וירדו למיצרים ולמיצרים. Then all the forces that fell into the lowest places that are called Meitzarim, the narrows we spoke about in the previous parashot, especially last week, parashot, we spoke about the 3 weeks of judgments that are called Bein HaMetzarim, in between the narrow place, which means in captivity. So, ומדבקים את עצמם בשורשם קודש למקום אשר משם באו, ואז נגלו מן המיצר. So when that force that is called the upper hand of God, היד הרמה, is being revealed and is touching any part of the creation, that part of the creation, the holy aspect of that part, is awakening and is ascending and is rising and is coming out of the dungeon, out of captivity, out of slavery, and is reaching what is called freedom and redemption. Okay? This is basically, in a nutshell, the purpose of the creation. We were created in a creation that is damaged, that is lacking, that is full of judgments, full of narrow places, full of traps and dungeons. Okay, all of that was created in purpose. Why? Because since each human soul was created in the image of God, we have the need to face a dungeon, hardship, captivity, slavery, exile, disconnection, any kind of situations of captivity and bondage. So when we release ourselves, when we redeem ourselves, we are basically creating an illumination, freedom, any kind of a state of elation, but that is created by our own selves. And this is the purpose of the creation of what, of the aspect of creation that we know as humanity living on planet Earth. What does it mean? We are humanity. We are sparks of God's creation, sparks of soul. All of us were created in the image of God. However, we were created in a perfect state of fulfillment and existence. We couldn't buy it. We couldn't buy it. Why? Since we were created in the image of God, we have the need to create our own happiness, our own freedom. And therefore, limitation, judgments, bondage, enslavement, and all the bad stuff that we call them hard life, judgments, all of that was created for us as the huge theme park called planet Earth, so we, the souls, can play creator. So when we create light out of darkness, sweet out of bitterness, solution in times of problems, freedom out of slavery, we achieve our calling. So in the Kabbalistic language, that means that holy sparks, the souls, fell into the Meitzarim, narrow places, any kind of a situation that is putting me under a bondage. I cannot reveal my potential. I cannot reveal my creativity. I cannot reveal my freedom. Cannot reveal everything that is hidden and treasured inside me. Excuse me. That's a Meitzarim. So when I find that connection with the eternal light of the Creator, I can find this epiphany, this enlightenment that will give me the power to ascend and rise and reconnect to my source, the Almighty God. This is the whole story in a nutshell. Omnam bechinat geula zo rak al me'at zman. But you have to remember, this kind of redemption will always be temporary. It's never once and for all. Why? Because every kind of redemption that we create, solution that we create, freedom that we create, it's just on a certain aspect because we are very complex and we have many, many layers, like the tree. So we have to correct, as it's called tikkun, correction, and it's called tikkun olam, because when I correct one bondage, one limitation, one judgment in my soul, I basically corrected part of the general correction of humanity. It's never just individual, it's always part of a big journey of the whole of humanity. So that redemption, it's only that redemption is only for a short time. So after you have this excitement of connection, epiphany, elation, enlightenment, that is being taken away because then the moment it's being taken away from you, you have another, you go back into the state of free will. What does it mean free will? You remember how great it was. Are you facing the dire situations of daily life again? And you have to basically connect between the two, realizing this is an opportunity to achieve another elation. And each one, it's like, you work, you make a living. And what does it mean? You have enough money, you buy food, you eat, then you're hungry all over again. Why? Not because what you've done is nonsense. When you ate, you elevated holy sparks from the level of inanimate, vegetable, animal kingdom into the level of the human kingdom. Okay, that's the purpose of us eating. But after you finish eating, it's not you didn't finish the job. Humanity did not come to redemption yet. It's all stage by stage. We have to remember, it's never once and for all. Not in this time. Yes, within, by the end of the sixth millennium that we are right now in the year 5785, by the end of the sixth millennium, we already can start smelling the end. We have so many signs that we are approaching the end. One of them is everything is so crazy. The whole of humanity is going through such crazy situations, and everybody is aware of it. Everybody's facing it and living that through, social media, whatever. So humanity is more and more coming to that place of realizing we are all one. Okay? And we all going through the same journey, each one of us doing his own different, unique, special share. So only then we have free will. אז ניתן לו בחירה חופשית שיעבוד בעצמו ולהתעצם בכל עוז ולהטות את לבבו אל דרך הטוב המאושר ולהכניע את הרע ולהכליל היד שמאל בימין. So, what is the work? To have free will, that's why it's never once and for all, because you didn't finish the job. You finish only one part. And then the next part, you have to somehow remove yourself from the previous victory. You cannot rest on your laurels, and you have to move to the next victory. And next victory is free will. Free will is remember this epiphany, this greatness, but there is a trouble that you have to deal with right now. So you have to awaken again the same excitement that brought you the previous ascension. Now you have to get back to it, awakening that again, but a little bit differently, because it's a different problem. It's a different issue. Okay, and finally, to get the power, get to the job, and to strengthen yourself with all your power in order to direct your heart, lehatot et levavo. What is lehatot? Lehatot is the same word as matot. It's all about, directing yourself. The word mate means staff. So when you say chief of staff, you mean this is the one who's running the army. He's the one who's holding the staff, and he's the one who's directing everything in order to, you have what you need the army for. You have a problem, you have an attack, you have a situation that is not very nice. You don't need the army because everything is nice. When everything is nice and everybody's happy with all what he has, you don't need armies. An army is when you have a threat, a very, very dangerous threat. And then the chief of staff is the one who has the power to create the victory. What is the victory? To turn the threat into a state of peace, a state in which you're not threatened anymore. So you have the power to divert. That's what the word matot means. The power, the staff to divert reality from a threat into a situation of peace and harmony. By the way, peace and harmony do not come just by sitting and doing nothing. By sitting and doing nothing, I don't know if you realize, but human nature, along thousands of years of history, most of these years, humanity is in wars. There's always somebody who's getting very hungry, and whoever is sitting peacefully on his land, he is becoming a target. Why? If you're sitting peacefully and you have what to eat, other people are hungry, will try to take your bread away from your mouth. Just learn history. That's how history looked like. You can talk about raids. There was always hungry tribes trying to raid the peasants, and that's how the first kingdoms have been established. And then you have again and again the same story in different structure every generation all over again. And if you think that this is going to change very soon, no, it's not. So you have always to be aware, awake, in order to face the threats. So, and what is the purpose? So you can divert your own heart to the road of what is good and happy. And how would that happen? Lehachnia et hara, to overcome evil, to transform the evil, to take over the evil and to turn him into good. And that is called la'achlil ha'shmol b'yamin. That means that the right will always have to subdue the left. The right is the chesed, the giving, the loving, but it has to be an active, powerful right, which means without it, you cannot take the left. What is the left? The left is judgment. The left is I want. The left is selfish, egotistic nature. What is the cause of all troubles of humanity? The left, which means we're not talking about political affiliation. The left means need. I want. I need. I have to. I have to take. And I don't care about anything. I see, I take. I can. I'll take. Why do I take? Because I can. Okay. So the last few generations, humanity tried to create some systems in which nations, not only people, individuals in a nation, in a country, under a government, there's a police, but there's a police of all the nations. And we thought that it's going into world peace. We thought we could do it once and for all. No, we didn't. It's more peaceful than it used to be. Still, we see people don't have trying to take from people who do have just because they want and they can. Just because of that. This is not working. Why? Because when people take only because they want, it's a left column. Left column is judgment. Judgment always creates pain and misery. Okay, so you need, as we've learned many, many times, you want to be happy, you need to make other people happy. You want your needs to be met, you have to meet other people's needs also. When we work together in partnership, let's say you work as part, or you work for a government, you work for a company, you serve other people. What do? You meet other people's needs, they give you what you need, and that's how humanity is functioning. This is how it works. The better you know how to meet other people's needs, the more gain you can have from other people to meet your needs, to serve for your needs. But that is only when you realize this is also the worship of God. When you do it as this is the way to worship God, you do it with excitement and happiness and serving God, then your main the main idea of love others, you love yourself. You're never thinking all the time, did I get exactly according to my effort? And if you don't do that, which means you have that excitement, that zeal of serving other people, you will also get what you need. But you will always excel in being the best you can be. Why? Because if you'd always try to think, I gave those people a service. Did they give me enough reward? If I think that all the time, that's called judgment. If I'm judging all the time, that is like putting water over the fire. Which fire? The fire of excitement, the fire of optimism, hope, zeal, everything that makes people creative. But if you do that, as that's a way to worship God, then the more you work, the more light you get, the more excitement you get, the more connection to God you get. And that's why where it says in the Torah, love others as you love yourself, I am God. Why do you need I am God to add that in the end? Because that's the only way it works. If you do it just because you love other people so they love you back, it doesn't work always. Most of the time, it doesn't. Most of the time, you'll be mean because you'll be a victim. You'll feel depleted because you will feel cheated because you feel that people never reciprocate properly for what you gave them. Never do that. You do your best because that's a way to worship God. That's why Rabbi Ashlag believed totally in communism, but he said that can work only when you serve humanity just because that's a way of worshiping God. And since most people are selfish and are not capable of doing that, communism will fail because you need to be of a high, very high spiritual zeal and purity in order to be able to live in a community and to achieve that situation of sharing with everybody else and whatever you have, because What motivates you is your connection to God and not your salary and the honor and awards that you get from society. I hope you get this idea. That's why Rabbi Ashlag believed that the capitalist came, which means most people, they need to be rewarded. Otherwise, they won't have any incentive to excel in serving their company, family, community, country. And if you don't have the incentive to do that, why would you do anything to enlarge the GDP of your country? Why would you do that? You need to be rewarded on a very superficial physical level. Okay? The problem is you'll always be depleted because you will always be judging others. And therefore, you'll always be complaining that you're not being rewarded enough, and you'll always be jealous in other people. So if you're not really spiritual and you're not really overcoming judgment as a way of life, being selfish in the capitalist game is a losing game. You always find yourself on the losing side. Why? It will never be enough for you. And you'll never appreciate other people properly, and you'll never reach that place that we're talking about. So a person all his days lead at same to fortify himself, to strengthen himself, beat lavut gadol with a great excitement. And that's why it's called the last parasha of the book of Numbers is called Masei, the journeys of, because this is about the journeys we all make day by day, hour by hour. And these journeys are from one level to another, min madriga le madriga, from one level of illumination to another. That illumination will affect us as a career, family, community, anything we do, because it's all about climbing up the ladder. The ladder getting closer to the Almighty. Till we complete all our journeys, and then we complete 42 journeys. So that's why you have 42 journeys, but at the 42, the number 42, is just like a big number to explain the journeys we go through. There could be much more than 42 journeys because there are many, many sparks that we have to correct. So that starts with the journey of humanity. It starts with Adam. With the fall of Adam. And when Adam collapsed and fell, then the journey started. Okay, so the journey started, and then we have, like Kabbalistically, a kind of a framework that is being spoken about in this parasha. We have the staffs. And the parasha of Matot is starting with about how to nullify a vow. And I spoke about it in previous years. So if you want to talk about it, to listen to it, you have to go to previous years on YouTube to understand that. Because if we are coming to the end of the year, and from now on it's a countdown till Rosh Hashanah, when we are talking about annulling the vows, we are talking about already the secret of Kol Nidrei. And Kol Nidrei is annulling the cosmic vows of all the judgments that each one of us accumulated by not correcting, fixing, sweetening those judgments that we did not sweeten during the last year. will be attacking us the next year. So we are here trying to correct and sweeten the judgments in their core, which is the 3 weeks, and especially the ninth of Av that we are going to celebrate, commemorate 2 weeks from now. Okay, so it says also, and how do we know we're talking about Kol Nidre and about the forgiveness that God will, when we connect to God, we achieve that forgiveness. And it says very clearly, when it speaks about that woman, that she made a vow, and then it says that if her father heard or her husband heard, they can nullify the vow. But it's a very weird thing about it, because Rashi is saying, the great commentator, he's just saying a bit, commenting from the law, if the woman is a child before 12 years old, her vows do not, she's not a grown up, she's a minor, so her vows do not matter, so there's no need to annul them. Okay? And she, if she is a grown up, which means she's over 12, she's an adult. And their vows apply like any human being's vows because she's responsible. So only when she's 12 and a day, on that day, there's a kind of few hours between when she's a minor and adult. And then you have to check out if she's really capable of being aware the meaning of the vows, and only then the father or the husband can annul the vows. Which means, do you need a whole chapter in the Torah just about something that is almost impossible to happen? Which means a woman makes a vow. She's not really a woman, she's not really a child. You know, and that is almost impossible that will happen. So what we are talking about, why do we need to talk about it? Because the words are very simple. When the father or the husband annuls the vow, it says, "Ve'Hashem yislach la," and God will forgive her, which is exactly the same way that we're talking about Yom Kippur, in which God is forgiving his people. When God is the father or the husband, and we are the daughter or the bride. So it's the same kind of relationships. And what we're talking about is about annulling those judgments and turning them into sweetness. So I spoke about it in detail in previous years, and but I want to continue with that. We have after that, for this year, in chapter 31, Parashat Matot, Nakom nikmat bnei Israel met ha-Midyanim. Take the revenge of Israel from the Midianites. And I explained many times, the Midianites always are being spoken about as a nation with five kings. You know, what nation can function with five kings? Most nations are almost incapable of functioning properly with one king. Two kings is already incompetent, and five kings, this is unheard of. What are these five kings? So we know there are five major judgments connected to the five major sefirot, or that is known as Chesed, Gvura, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, five judgments. And when we talk about these five judgments, the Shoresh, the source of the word Midian, is Din. Five times Din is 320. So after the fall of Adam, in general, there are 320 judgments that humanity as a whole needs to correct. Each judgment is divided into many, 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 many sublevels, and every human being is basically a subcontractor to correct, transform only his own contract. Each one of us, without realizing that, has a contract with God. My contract is to correct the judgments that I carry, that I am appointed for. So, my journey, like as it's spoke being spoken in Parashat Maaseh, it's about fighting the Midianites, my own Midianites, my own judgments, which means my own contract, which means what is my calling as a human being is facing those judgments I'm facing daily, which means if I say, oh God, take them away from me, God is saying, just a second, what do you mean taking away from me, from you? I gave them to you so you have a worth, so you can really feel a creator of your own. Because you cannot award someone freedom or happiness or success. We, every human being, needs to create that victory on his own. And it's all, again, not once and for all. Every judgment has to be awarded on its own. So the journeys that we go through is basically that every state of awareness we have, okay, which is the state of awareness is the shoresh, the source in the upper world. How does it look in the physical world? A judgment, a problem at work, a problem with emotional issue, a problem in a health issue, a problem with a situation, a family situation, community situation. All of those challenges that more and more people talk about it, you call it a challenge, don't call it a problem. Focus on the solution, do not focus on the problem. Realize the problem in order to solve it. Why? If you just focus on the problem, you allow the judgment to take over and you're not doing your job. How do you know? Rule of life. If you use your brain and you look at your life, it's not a punishment from God. Like people in the dark ages or even in the idol worshiping era. It's not the gods are angry and therefore you are being punished. Oh, God is upset about you and therefore you're punished. No, it is your opportunity to step up the plate. It is an opportunity for you to fill up your side of the contract, which means you're getting a challenge and you face the challenge, you attack the challenge, you bring the right over the left, the love over the hate, the hope over the despair, the light over the darkness. You try, you do it again and again till you finish the job. What does it mean? You finish a journey. Does that mean that life is over? No. You'll have another journey, another obstacle to overcome, another challenge to solve. And that's how you feel the worth. Because the more challenges you solve, the more judgments you overcome, you look backwards and you say, I made a dent. I did something. I improved, I made this world a little bit better. By solving other people's problems on the way, solving my problems on the way, improving by my career and my relationships. I just made some people's lives better by improving my own self as a human being. Little by little, all of humanity is transforming the 320 major judgments into victories, into redemptions. And when these little redemptions accumulate, that's called the messianic process, the tikkun olam, correcting the world, the universe. Now, so you call it the trials and tribulations humanity went through till Abraham. You call it the journey of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and later on the Israelite in Egypt. then the Exodus, then the Mount Sinai Revelation, then the message to the world about humanity has one destiny, which is freedom and equality and hope and the right for happiness. That's a journey of humanity. That's a journey of each one of us. You need to have God's light to shine into your soul so you can step up to the plate and you realize that you have a miraculous, wonderful soul that needs to take part in the journey. And every human being is your teammate in that journey for redemption. So instead of whining, mourning, being upset about every difficulty and judgment in your life, or trying to sacrifice to God by donations, contributions, you know, whatever, prayers and stuff like this, so God will leave you alone and give you a nice life, you have a totally sick outlook about what life is about. God is seeing each one of us always as winners. And just, you know, sometimes it's a diamond in a row. You're not there yet because you didn't realize your job yet. But that's a journey, step by step, of all of humanity. And that's why humanity is getting just better. Yeah, we can say the world is horrible right now. No, it is tough, challenging, much better than it used to be. 100 years ago, 200 years ago, 300 years ago. The world is just getting better and better. The point is, we're becoming more and more responsible. There's more democracy, there's more freedom, there's more awareness of every human's freedom to choose. If you want to be a winner or a loser, it's not the way you're born, it is acquired, and you have so many preachers for that religion of the new era, the religion of there's one God, he loves everyone, and you just have to take those challenges, get up and face them, and put light instead of darkness. The speech about it is so, it's like a tidal wave, and we have to listen, let it touch us, and move forward. Now, there's also another aspect, which is the five final letters we spoke about the last two parashot, the five final letters that are represented by the five daughters of Tzlofchad. So we said those judgments, numerical value of 280, you have the Ein Resh Yud to deal with it. How do we deal with the five judgments that basically symbolized by the number 320? That is like a symbolic number, Shachdinim, 320 judgments of all the corrections of all of humanity together. So that is being, that will with the 42 letters, oh, the first 42 letters in Genesis 1, verse 1. Bereshit bara Elohim et ha-shamayim ve-et ha-aretz, va-aretz hayta tohu va-vohu. So, translating that will take eons, but they say, you know, the simplistic, childish translation, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was chaos. Okay, that's not what's written, but at least you know what we're talking about. The first 42 letters in the Hebrew original Bible, Torah, there's a very sophisticated encryption that turns it into what is called the name of 42 letters. Why 42? Which is also known as the acronym of the prayer of the Ana Bekoach. It's a famous prayer. You can find it a lot in the Hebrew prayer book. It's being recited every morning in the beginning of the morning prayer. In many prayer books, like European Jews, they say it again, just in the beginning of the afternoon prayer. Everybody says that in the bedtime prayer, okay, you say it just before Lechadudi, Friday night, just in the entrance of Shabbat. You say it again in the funeral when taking the body into the grave. That can be recited many times, depends on how long is the journey, taking the coffin or the body to be buried. Dana Bekoach is always being used when we need to rise, to ascend, to overcome the judgments of the physical limiting journey. So that's a very powerful tool. You can find it today in many, it's very easy to find it on the internet. If you want to find the whole meaning, you just Google the name of 42 letters Liv Kabbalah. The name of 42 letters Liv Kabbalah, you just put it in Google and the page will come up and you have a whole explanation by detail of that prayer. But how do we come to understand what this is about? So it's called the name of 42 letters. And the number 42 has few ways of manifestation. One of them, as the Opta Rebbe explained, we're talking about the upper hand. But in the Exodus, there are three hands that are being mentioned: Hayad HaGdola, the great hand; Hayad HaChazaka, the powerful hand; Hayad HaRama, the upper hand. Okay? So we're talking about three hands. The word hand in Hebrew, Yad, and you know Hebrew is also Hebrew letters are also numbers. Yad is exactly how you write 14 in Hebrew letters. Yad. A hand. You have also 14 knuckles in every hand. Okay, so three hands will give you 42, which means whenever you need to get out, you feel that you are in slavery, that the judgments are too powerful for you. You feel that you are in captivity and you cannot ascend and rise. When you say the Ana Bekoach, even if you don't understand it, you just say the Ana Bekoach and you concentrate on the acronym, okay, as we explained before. Okay, as you see in front of you. When you look at the acronym, you see that every verse, there are seven verses. And every verse in most of the prayer books, and also when you find it on the internet, you find the words Ana Bechoach Gedulat Yeminecha Tatir Tzeura, and then you have the acronym on the left, six letters. So you focus on that. And then you continue Kabel Rinat Amecha Sagvenu Tarei Noah. You say the second verse, and you focus on the second acronym, Kuf Resh Ayin Sin Tet Nun. Okay? When you do that, you're basically saying deep inside, Father in heaven, please pick me up. And when you say the whole prayer, you basically create a staff that diverts your life because it's like you're making God to bring down three hands. The right hand, the great hand, the left hand, the strong hand, the straight hand, the upper hand. And when he brings down three hands, he picks you up. By saying that prayer, focusing on the 42 letters, God will pick you up from Olam Asiyah, the world of action, the world of physicality, up to Olam Yetzirah, the dimension of spirituality. Okay, this is very powerful. You can say the Ana Bekoach as many times as you want. Of course, don't start your morning meditations and prayers without using the Ana Bekoach. Why? It's very limited of how far you can ascend without using the Ana Bekoach. And I spoke with a lot of my students who trained, exercise, so many meditations from all over the world. And the more trained they are, they were, the more experienced they were, the more was excitement from the results of using the Ana Bekoach meditation. Because the more you exercise that power of the name of 42 letters, the more you feel the ascension and the miraculous jumping out of the box, out of Olam Asiya, to the realm of Olam Yetzirah, to the realm of spirituality, outside the box, and it's a new experience. And when you do that, then you are capable of turning the darkness into light and the slavery into freedom. But the name of 42 names appears in different levels. When you go from Olam Briya and higher, remember the beginning of the book of Exodus, the journey starting as a national, as a journey of a multitude, of a collective. And then God is telling Moses, here the journey is starting. And Moses saying, with what name are you getting us out of Egypt? That's why it's called the book of Exodus in Hebrew, Sefer Shemot, the book of names. And God said, Ehyeh asher ehyeh. Wrongly translated, I am what I am. That's what not it says. He says, I am getting you with the name Ehyeh asher ehyeh. The name Ehyeh is 21. Twice Ehyeh. Ehyeh asher ehyeh. Twice 21 is 42. That is raising ourselves not just to the realm of spirituality, but the realm of Olam Briya, which is really connecting to the ability to create miracles. The miracles of the 10 plagues, splitting the Red Sea, all of them came from that. Again, 42. Ehyeh asher ehyeh. And there is the rising even higher than that, the rising into the world of total peace, quiet, and unity with God. Over there, that number, if you take the Tetragrammaton, the holy name of God, which is four letters, and you spell it out, which means you have four letters, the names of the letters is Yud. So you write Yud. Yud Vav Dalet. Hey, you write Hey, Hey Yud. Vav, Vav Yud Vav. Hey, Hey Yud. Now you have 10 letters when you spell it out. When you write the names of the letters, you get 10 letters. What you've got right now, these 10 letters, you spell them out again. You get 28 letters. So it's 4 plus 10 plus 28 equals again 42, which means you can arrive to the number 42 in three different ways. Each one of them raises you to another frequency of godliness in the world of emanations, in the emanations. And that you find also in the Kaddish, the Sephardic Kaddish, the prayer to elevate our souls when we pray, to elevate the souls of the deceased one in the journey to the grave. And after the burial, there's the memorial Kaddish. All of them are to raise above this realm to the realm of the highest of them all. So how does a Kaddish written? It starts with Gadal Vitkadash Mirabah, four words, four words. Then you have Be'alma Divra Kirutei V'Amlich Malchutei V'Atzma Pukanei V'Ikarei Meshichai, 10 words. Okay? Then you have Yesh Mirabah Mevarach Lalmei Almaya. That sentence has 28 words. So the Kaddish is structured according to the name of 42. Again, giving us a liftoff. You have that also in the Shema Yisrael, the most important prayer. You can find it in, you know, in a few weeks we're going to read it, Parashat Vayitchanan, the second parasha in the book of Deuteronomy. The Shema Yisrael, the most important prayer, is divided in the first two verses, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuto L'Olam Vaed, and then, Ve'ahavta et Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha v'chol modecha. We have now 42 words, and they are corresponding to the 42 letters of the name of 42 in the Ana B'Koach. So this is embedded in Jewish prayers. It can be found and hidden in the first 42 letters in the Torah. It's being hidden also in the Shema. It's hidden in many, many other places, in the Kaddish, in the Ana B'Koach, everywhere. So we have in these two parashot that basically seal the most important part of the Torah. We have that kind of a summary. This is it's a message to every human being. This is your journey. This is your journey is made of many stations. And each station, you journey over there. And when you finish your job of correcting the judgments in that station, you will journey to another place. Could be a geographical location, a new job. Could be in the same house, the same job, but a new perception of life. When you feel that you're stuck, when you feel that you're surrounded with judgments, is because you're not doing your job. It's not because of your boss, the economy, the market. This is just the external excuse. That's the diversion. You need to divert it back, matot, to divert it internally. It's a challenge. And when I reveal my own holiness through prayer, through meditation, to the study of spirituality, the Zohar, Kabbalah, whatever, when you are becoming serious about it, in everything you do, your approach to yourself, to your own journey, the approach to other people, simply taking everything as a part of the journey, as a mission, being God's worker, making the world better. When you're committed to it, you're committed to the covenant, as we spoke about Pinchas. That is the zealousy of Pinchas. This is my job, and I'm doing it relentlessly, again and again and again, till I do it right. When we have that, then the journey will continue, and we'll feel that we are being unstuck, moving up the ladder, another journey, another station, till you enjoy the road. And if you're saying, okay, when are we going to be finished? Does that remind you? The little kids, you get into the car to go through whatever excitement in the summer. Okay, and as you go in after 2 minutes, when are we going to get there already? It's boring. Do you want to be like that child? You're not a child anymore. You have to take responsibility, assume position to everything that you're going through. And you have to start learning how to enjoy the journey, because that's the way of the professional. Thank you so much. And good luck with our job. To all of us, we all need it.